Okay, beautiful. Okay, so first off, thank you to you, David, for this in particular, for all the Shirim pre-Shabbos videos, everything that you do for our community. So that's really, it's a big schus to just be a small part of it. So like you mentioned, I want to speak a little bit today about Sfiras HaOmer. And before I even get into, half the Shir will be, just be an introduction. Before I even get into the exact part I want to speak about, I just want to give a little brief background on our feeling or what we should be aiming for during this period. And then the gist of it will be, you know, how we make sense of all these different events going on during Sfiras HaOmer, like you mentioned, and how that we can learn what we should be spending our time here doing, preparing for receiving the Torah. So as Jewish people in general, we believe in a concept of growing, not becoming content with how we are, but rather growing each and every day. Every person on their own level, growing in their own way. I don't believe there's one, you know, this is the way you need to grow. Everyone needs to do this. Everyone on their own level. There's a beautiful mashal I saw actually from a sefer called Sheva Yipol Tzadik. He says, being a Jew is like riding a bike. He says, you're putting an effort, you're pedaling, you're going forward. But if you want to kind of just stand still, there's no such thing as just standing still on a bike. You'll fall off the bike. You can't just balance on a bike for a long time. So if you think you're just standing still, you're actually falling off the bike. And that's the idea of a Jew in general. We have to constantly keep little by little, not tremendous things overnight, but little by little growing. And I one time saw a beautiful idea of this when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. All the way at the end of the Torah, there's a parsha called Vayelech. It's the last day of Moshe's life. And the whole Sefer Devarim as a whole is Moshe Rabbeinu giving his last final speech to the Jewish people on the last day of his life. And all the way at the end of that Sefer, there's a parsha's Vayelech. And the pasuk says, Vayelech Moshe, and Moshe went, Vayedaber es ha-devar me'ila el kol b'nei Yisrael. And he went to go speak the matters to the Jewish people. And so many Rishonim asked the question. They said, what does it mean he went, Vayelech Moshe? He's been standing here the whole time. And if you continue on in the parsha, he's still standing there. So what do you mean, Vayelech, he went? So different Rishonim give different answers. But one answer I saw is it's not a physical going, but rather a spiritual going. That the last day of his life, he still had an attitude, a mindset. I'm Vayelech, I'm still going. I'm going on my way, I'm growing. And that was the message he wanted to show the Jewish people. That's what a Jew is. And I think that's what a Jew is on a general day. During Sfiras HaOmer, it's even more so. Sfiras HaOmer are 50 days that are set aside from the whole calendar where we should have a mindset we need to grow little by little each and every day because we're preparing for receiving the Torah. And possibly the greatest proof of this at all is what the holiday of receiving the Torah is called. It's called Shavuos. If I were to name the day where I received the Torah, the highlight of the whole Jewish history, I would call it Yom Matan Torah Seinu, the day where we get the Torah. What is the name? It's called Shavuos. What does Shavuos mean? It means weeks. It's so anticlimactic, right? It's not even focused on the day. It's focused on everything in the past. So what's the idea of calling the day where we receive the Torah Shavuos? It's because the way you receive the Torah is all dependent on how you spent those weeks beforehand. The day today is Shavuos. It's not about today. It's about how you spent the day beforehand. These days that we're currently in the Shavuos, in the weeks of counting up to Shavuos. It's all about how we spend our days. If we use them growing little by little, slowly but surely, each and every day, then we're going to have a real receiving of the Torah. So we have this general idea that Jews are always growing, and we have an intensified idea during this time period. And there's a Rav who used to be a big-time rabbi here in the Mir Yeshiva. He now started his own yeshiva. His name is Rav Nissen Kaplan. And he gives an example. He says, let's say it takes 10 minutes to boil at 100 degrees Celsius a pot of water. Right? You want to boil a pot of water, 100 degrees Celsius, 10 minutes. What would happen if I put that pot of water on for 1 minute, I took it off for a minute, on for a minute, off for a minute, a total, it was on the flame for 10 minutes at 100 degrees Celsius. But intervals, 1 minute on, 1 minute off. Would it ever boil? And the answer is, of course not. It's not just having the days pass you by, but it's consistently on each and every day. It needs to be 10 minutes straight for that pot to boil. It's the same thing by a Jew. You need to grow little by little every single day. But if you're on one day, off the next day, it's very hard to get that boiling, that fire within you to really be a person who wants to grow. And so that's the time period we're in. And possibly one of the best ways that remind us of this is something that we do each and every day. We count the Sfira. We count the day that we're in. Now, normally, for example, I mentioned I run a camp. So on our website, you can check it out. We have, from the day camp ends, the next day, there's a countdown. 364 days to the next year's camp start. 363, and it goes down. When we're excited towards something, we have a countdown. That's the way it works. It's called a countdown. We all have heard of that saying before. However, we're so excited to receive the Torah, but we actually count up. Day one, day two, day three. What's the message of counting up in Sfiras HaOmer as opposed to having a countdown in Sfiras HaOmer? So I saw a few answers. I want to focus on two for a minute. The first one is a very practical answer. When the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, Egypt, they knew that they were receiving the Torah, but they didn't know when they were going to receive the Torah. So they approached each and every day, like maybe today's the day we're going to get the Torah. And when it didn't happen, they counted, that was day one that passed, day two. They couldn't have a countdown because they didn't know the end date. They didn't know it was going to be 50 days from when they left. So too, we do that. But now we know when the end day is. So why would we do it? The idea is that we need to have the mindset. They left everything out there each and every day because they thought today really might be the day. If I told you that Mashiach is coming in 24 hours, your next 24 hours would be very different than if you didn't know that for sure. So the Jewish people knew that it was coming when they left Egypt, but they didn't know which day. So they said, today's day one. I'm going all out. Okay, it didn't happen. One day passed. Today's day two. I'm going all out. And we count up to remind us of that. My Rebbe, Rav Nevenzahl, points out, he says, there's another idea in the Torah of counting. That's by Yovel. We have something after 50 years, there's something called Yovel. It's a lot of complicated halachos, not for right now. But the pasuk says, V'sefarta lecha sheva shabasos, that you should count for yourself seven years, a cycle of seven years, which is 49 years. And on the 50th year, there's going to be something called a Yovel. And that's the pasuk there. And who actually makes this count? Not each and every Jew, right? We don't have this count there. Every Jew does it. Rather, just the Beis Din does this, which is why it's Sifarta in singular. Only one group of people do this. We all hold by their count, but only Beis Din does the count. But when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, the pasuk sounds very similar, but there's one glaring difference. It says Sifartem, you in plural. Everyone should count. What? Lechem Acher Shabbos. Starting from tomorrow, meaning that was the day after Pesach, the day after the first day of Pesach, everyone counts. And Rav Nevenzahl points out the reason why we have counting in singular by Beis Din HaGadol is it's just that the days pass by. We just need to know when the end day is, when 50 years have come. But the reason why it's in plural when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer is that each an individual needs to make the day count. He himself needs to make sure he's counting up that day, making sure he has this sense, this attitude that today really might be the day where we're receiving the Torah. That's reason number one why we count up, and that's reason number one why it's clearly a day of growth. A second reason, which I happen to really like this reason, because I had a very hard time disproving it. I'm sure there might be one or two exceptions to this rule. I would love to hear it if someone has it. Almost anything that counts down is something that happens by itself. Almost anything that counts up, and I'll explain in a moment, is something that you needed to have done in order for the count to go up. For example, there's 3 weeks until my vacation. Not really, but there's 3 weeks until my vacation. So now there's 2 weeks. If I packed, if I bought my ticket, it didn't matter. The days are still coming down, ready or not. But let's say I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to start working out. So I go to the gym day one, I go to the gym day two, and then I decide to skip day three. And then I go back to the gym on day four. And someone asks me, says, how many days have you gone to the gym? Well, 4 days have passed, but only 3 days have I gone to the gym. If it involves you putting in effort, it's always a count up. You have to do it. If it's something that happens, memela, inevitably, it's always a count down. And this is the idea of Sfiras HaOmer. There's a saying called Matan Torah Nofelis. A Matan Torah that just fell into your lap. That's not what we're supposed to happen. We know that 50 days from Sfiras HaOmer, it's going to happen. We're going to get the Torah now, right? In year 2020. But it shouldn't be that attitude. It should be that we're counting up. Each day we checked in at the gym, making sure we put in our effort to actually make this day count. So those are two proofs just to show that today is the period we're in right now is an exaggerated time of self-growth. And just to give one more small example of that idea before we get into the main idea is that if you were, let's say I were to shoot a bow and arrow 1 foot in front of me and it was off 1 centimeter from the bullseye, 1 centimeter to the right, it would be almost insignificant amount of difference. 1 foot, one centimeter, almost nothing. But if I shot that same bow and arrow, now let's say 100 feet, and it was 1 centimeter to the right, it would be way off its course. And that's what Sfiras HaOmer is. Each day, we don't feel like we made a huge difference, a huge gap, because it's 1 foot in front of us. But when we look back 50 days later, we're totally different trajectory than we would have been if we didn't attack each and every day. Very, you know, minimal, but a minimal growth each and every day. So that's a way of introduction. And that's where we find ourselves right now. So I'm a very big believer. First of all, anyone has a question or a comment, feel free to interrupt in the middle. Sure.
What do you think is a very good definition of growth? Because I saw the other day when we were in another shiur on Sfiras HaOmer that the sphera and the counting and all it's all connected to Ben Adam. It's all connected to your personal midot. It's not Ben Adam Lamakom. It's not really a you and Hashem thing. So is growth something where it's personal development? Because anyone can personally develop. Or is it a relationship with Hashem? How do you define growth?
So this is something that, let's say, I said I teach in a yeshiva, that this is a question, a type of question that's asked all the time. You know, what does it mean? Let's say, I'm better at chesed, but I don't really want to learn, or I'm better at this. Is that considered growth, or I need to do everything? So first off, that's exactly what we're going to speak about coming up, how you tie in Bein Adam HaMakom and Bein Adam HaChavero. But I think my own opinion is that each person has their own way of getting there. It's too broad of a question to really answer. There are certain principles, like we have a mission in Avos. The second mission in Avos says the world stands on three things. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Learning Torah, today it's called prayer and doing kindness. I think every person has to have a part of something, one of those three things. But it could be my skill set lends more to learning and less to prayer, or more to prayer and less to learning, or more to chesed, more to midos, all those things. So you can gravitate into an area that you feel like you're more successful, you enjoy more. But I think that we all have a responsibility to be working on all facets of what a Jew is really supposed to be about. And that's exactly what, almost as if we worked it out together, that's exactly what I want to speak about. So each holiday, beautiful question, each holiday, there are many lessons. But usually you could define a holiday, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, into, you know, 1, 2, 3 main lessons that we're supposed to take out from it. So what's going on during Sfiras HaOmer that we're supposed to learn out? So the first is clearly a growth spiritually as individuals towards Bein Adam LeMakom, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Pasuk says, this is how we know we're supposed to count. Pasuk Vayikra Chof Gimel Tezvav. It says, "Sivarte em lachem acheres haShabbos, meyom havichem es Omer hatnufa shabbos shabbosus timima atiena." That you should count starting tomorrow, which was the day after the first day of Pesach, 7 weeks, starting from the end. The reason we're counting is we're going to receive the Torah. The Ramban writes that what is it? It's a chol hamoed. The first day of Yontif, so to say, is the whole Pesach. The last days of Yontif is Shavuos. And Sfiras HaOmer is a chol hamoed. It's supposed to be a tremendous simcha. Chol hamoed, maybe we go on our phones, maybe we do certain things, but it's not a normal day. It's a tremendous day of happiness, of growth. And that's what the Ramban says. And the Sefer HaChinuch actually says it even better. He says the whole root of the mitzvah is the Jewish people are supposed to focus on the fact that they're going to receive the Torah, and that should create in them a sense of happiness and a sense of growth. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. So what is the essence of this time period? The essence is A, a simcha, a happiness, And B is a time of growth on an individual way. And I think that they're more focusing on an individual way, being adam lemakom, receiving the Torah, being able to learn Torah, to have your role in limra Torah. That's number one. There's a second event that happened during Sfiras Omer that for different reasons, and maybe we'll even address it for a second, gets a lot more of the limelight, I believe. And that's actually almost the exact opposite feeling, a feeling of mourning, the opposite of happiness. We know based off the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis Amad Beis that 12,000 pairs, so 24,000 total people, of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died during these 33 days of Sfiras HaOmer. The first 33 days are, well, it's a machlokas, but 33-day period of Sfiras HaOmer. And because of that, we have minhagim, we have customs, don't shave, don't get a haircut, don't have weddings, don't listen to music. We're supposed to feel like we're extremely upset. And what are we upset about? Not being adam lemakom, not our relationship between us and Hashem, but actually our relationship with us and our fellow man. The reason it says in the Gemara 12,000 pairs didn't died, and not 24,000 people, it's the same number, is to show you they died because they were supposed to be pairs and they weren't. They were supposed to be together and they weren't together. So this is the opposite side of the feeling. We went from an idea of happiness and growth to a God to a sadness and a disconnect between our fellow brother. These events happened 1400 years, almost exactly 1400 years apart. So totally different time periods. And the question is, we have both of these emotions going on at the same time in Sfiras HaOmer. Is there a lesson, a connection between these two events that we're practically in here, 2020, supposed to change who we are as people based off that? Just to give a side note for 1 second, I was always bothered by why people focus, I feel, maybe I'm mistaken, people focus much more on the negative aspect of it. Oh, we can't shave, we can't listen to music, whatever. And after Lag BaOmer, we kind of, you know, we finish counting, but we don't feel like, oh, we're in Sphere anymore as much. So I was speaking to a Rosh Yeshiva, and he was said to me, he said, you want to know how I hire all my Rebbeim? I don't ask them about a Tosfos or a Rashi or Ritva. I show them a picture of a cemetery. And I ask them, what do you see in this cemetery? And they get all different types of answers. But he said the common denominator is, it's sad, someone died, everyone's mourning. He says, what I'm looking for is the person to say it's such a beautiful day outside. The sun is shining, blue sky, everyone's dressed like it's warm outside. He said, it's the same event, but you have the ability to choose how you look at things. So he said, this is life. And he's like, I'm looking to hire a Rebbe who looks at the good in it. So it doesn't mean ignore the negative. There's something to learn from Rabbi Akiva students. But it shouldn't be only that we're focusing only on that negative. That's a little bit of a side note. I thought that was an interesting idea that he pointed out to me. But the idea, the question is there something between these events that happened 1,400 years apart? That is it a coincidence they both happened during Sfira? Or is there something we're supposed to learn from it? So this is what I want to suggest. I was talking to my younger brother who helped me come up with this idea a few weeks ago when I was talking to him about it. And it's a little bit of our own idea, so you can totally feel free to argue with it. But listen to this idea. The Pasuk, as I mentioned, that said, Usvartam lechem acheres haShabbos miyom havichem es haOmer. Why is Sfiras HaOmer called Sfiras HaOmer? That day, they brought a carbon omer. What's a carbon omer? It's a carbon of barley. And at the end of the process, on Shavuos, we bring something called the shtei halechem, a carbon of wheat, of bread. We know based off many Gemaras that barley is the food of animals, and wheat is the food of man. And so many different Rishonim explain the basic ideas that when we start Sfiras HaOmer, we're so to say, in quotes, animals. And we improve ourselves and become men. We become human. This idea bothers me a little bit. As I said, this time is totally a time to grow, but I have a lot of room for improvement. I am no way perfect. I don't feel like before Sfira I was an animal though. So what is the lesson that we start off with an animal food and end off at a human's food? What's the difference? Well, there's one of many differences between an animal and a man. Animals have an innate ability to take care of themselves, maybe their immediate family. They'll do anything. They'll kill other animals. They'll do anything to protect themselves and their immediate family. However, they don't have a sense of a nation. I've never seen all the dogs rise up and do something together. All the lions, we're going to take care. They'll do anything for themselves. maybe their immediate family, I don't know exactly, but they won't like, okay, all lions, we're coming together and we're having a revolt. It doesn't happen. Humans also all take care of themselves, their own needs. They also all take care of their immediate family. But when you're a Jewish nation, there's a sense greater. We have to have a sense of we're a nation. It's not just about Yisrael Feld and am I growing or not growing. Because if you're not doing your part or I'm not enabling you and helping you to do your part, then my part is not fulfilled. That's the difference between an animal and a human. So what does it mean that we start off as animals, again, in quotes, so to say, and we end up as humans? It needs to be our mindset. Maybe before Sfira Saomer, I was only focused on myself, my own growth. What am I going to do? And by the time Sfira comes to an end, we should have the sense, what am I going to do for the Tzibor? What am I going to do to help another person out? And this is exactly where I think these two ideas that we're saying come together. You need to grow on an individual way, being Adam L'Makom, between you and God. But you cannot separate that. That is supposed to bring you to a level of having V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha, of treating your fellow well. That's what a human is. That's what a Jewish people are supposed to be. And the greatest proof of this, and I think it's as clear as day, is that we know that there's a famous idea that the prerequisite to receiving the Torah was this idea of Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har, the Jewish people encamped by Har Sinai. Rashi says, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. One person, one heart. The prerequisite was Achdos. Why wasn't the prerequisite learning Torah? Why wasn't the prerequisite, you know, all these are davening? All this? Because Torah is supposed to bring you to having a sense of unity. If you don't have that unity, you can't get the Torah. So as I'm growing in my own personal growth, it's not a separate thing than growing as a nation. It's one and the same thing. And if it didn't, then you missed the boat. Why was it that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, who were great Talmidic Chachamim, were punished so harshly? Why they were killed? It's because they were learning, but they were missing the boat, so to say. They were growing as individuals, but not as 12,000 pairs. And that's where these things come into connection. And we have all heard, maybe from a song or from some idea, the Pasuk says, V'yahavta Re'echa Kamocha, what does Rabbi Akiva, the person whose Talmidim died, he says, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah. This is the general principle of the Torah. What does that mean? This one mitzvah, this is what the Torah is supposed to bring you to. The general idea of the Torah is to bring you to V'yahavta Re'echa Kamocha, a sense of I can love my fellow like I love myself. If somebody is growing in their Torah, they learn Gemara, Mishnayos, English books, anything, it doesn't matter. And it's not bringing them a sense of I feel closer to my nation, you're missing the boat. So as we grow together through each and every day, we're saying, and we're growing towards getting closer to Hashem, you can't say it's only to Hashem and not to other people. Then there's some disconnect between your growth and what reality is supposed to be. We know when the Jewish people received the Torah, they said, Nasa v'nishma. We will do and we will hear. The Gemara in Shabbos on Peiches says, the Jews got two crowns, one for Nasa and one for Nishma. Every single Jew had two crowns on their head. So I heard an idea from Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita. He said, the idea of this is supposed to be is, when you learn Torah, every Jew now, you should view them as a crown on their head. That you need to respect. If there were a king was in front of you, you would respect him tremendously. You would give anything you give yourself, you would give to the king. So as you learn your Torah, Nasa v'nishma, the great acceptance of the Torah means, now I understand that each and every Jew has a crown on his head. Each and every Jew is a person who is worthy of my respect. So these two things are not two opposite sides at all. It's one idea. And it's happy days because we're growing in our Limud Torah and we're mourning the fact that the first time we missed the boat. And again, the Pasuk says, V'yahavta L'Re'echa Kamocha. That's the quintessential Pasuk for loving your neighbor. You should love your neighbor like you love yourself. It seems like before you can love your neighbor, you have to love yourself. Meaning yourself has to be a person who's growing. And then you can love your neighbor. You can't have one without the other. You need to be growing, and now you can love somebody else. One of the great muscles I love about this, if anyone's ever, I'm sure everyone's been on a plane before, you know, the stewardess will get on the plane, and they'll start off by saying, you know, in case of emergency, the oxygen mask will come down. If you're traveling with a passenger who needs assistance, strap on your mask first, and then go help that person. And the idea is, if you're going to help someone else out, you need to be functioning fully, right? I care about my daughter, I would do anything for her. But if I want to be able to help her out, I need to strap on my oxygen mask Now I can strap on someone else's. This is the idea of the Torah. I need to be growing, but that growing is supposed to be helping me to help someone else out. There is a very, very well-known midrash. And now this midrash is so interesting because it debates what is the most important pasuk in the whole Torah, which is a fascinating question. It's also interesting because it's debated if it really exists. In Svarim it's quoted, but if you look up where it's quoted, it's very hard to find. Anyway, I saw it quoted in the Maral, and he quotes it as in the Hakdama to the Ein Yaakov. If you, anyone sees it there, I would love to know about it. But the question is what is the most important pasuk in the Torah? And the first opinion, three opinions. The first opinion is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Totally legitimate opinion. The ultimate acceptance as God as your king. The second opinion is V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha. Again, a great opinion. The idea that you have to treat your fellow properly. The third one, it seems a little bit of a wild card. It's Esa Keves Echad Ta'aseh B'Boker V'Esa Keves Hashini Ta'aseh Bein Arbayim. An idea that you bring a carbon tumid twice a day, every single day. And the Tanaim fight it out, and they say the third one, the carbon tumid, is the most important pasuk in the Torah. And this is a wild idea. It's a beautiful idea in itself. The reason why they say this is because consistency is the key to success. Carbon tumid, twice a day, every day, even Yom Kippur, they bring this, and that's why it's the most important pasuk. But I was always bothered because how can you kind of throw away to the side Shema Yisrael, V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha? I understand consistency is super important. More important than Shema, more important than V'yahavta. So I thought you could say an idea that I think is beautifully connecting to what we're trying to say. It's not that it's more important, but rather it's the glue. You need to be a person who has Shema Yisrael, who's growing between you and God. You need to have a person who's V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha, who's growing between you and man. But what do you need to do those things? What's the glue? As a keves achad, consistency, each and every day, little by little, like Sviras Omer. You're supposed to have both these aspects, the duality that's supposed to help you grow in both facets as a Jew, but do them each and every day, little by little. And that's exactly what Sviras is, and that's exactly the two components, the two facets of what we're commemorating and supposed to be feeling during this time period. Then there's something that's very interesting also in Middle Sphere, and I was trying to see if there was a connection to it at all. Then comes Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is like totally different seemingly. So Lag BaOmer itself is very complicated. There's two events that really happen. There's Rashbi, and I'm going to put that aside. I don't want to discuss that because it's not really our topic. But one of the reasons we have Lag BaOmer, which is the 33rd day of Sphira, where we stop mourning everything, was because the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying on the 33rd day of Lag BaOmer of the Sphira. And the question I had was why is it a day of celebration, right? It should be, okay, we're not mourning anymore, but we just lost 24,000 Talmidim who are great Talmidei Chachamim. Just to put it in an easy sense for us to understand, you know, when Corona's over, we're not going to throw the world's biggest party. We'll stop mourning. We'll stop staying inside. But we just lost thousands of people, thousands of Jews, thousands of people in the world. It's not a party. We should just be, okay, stop mourning. Yet we throw the craziest parties on Lag BaOmer. And why do we do it with fire of all things? So listen to what I think is a wild, awesome idea. Rav Ginsburg, one of my rabbeim, pointed out that the Pri Chadash says, why do we have a simcha? It's if you continue in the Gemara. The next line of Gemara says Rabbi Akiva restarted his base midrash with five new Talmidim on Lag BaOmer. We're not celebrating the stoppage of the deaths of the 24,000 Talmidim. Rather, we're celebrating the renewal of the fact that he was able to restart. And the Chidah takes it a step further. He says that happened on Lag BaOmer, meaning it wasn't just that they restarted, but rather they started on Lag BaOmer. Someone had a question? Oh. So that happened on Lag BaOmer. So what I thought you could say is, what's the celebration? The celebration is now these five new Talmidim, it just wasn't that their base midrash just started again, that they started learning again, but they started learning Torah with the proper mindset. They learned from their mistake. They learned from the 24,000 Talmidim who learned Torah. They're tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. I have no right to even speak about them. I'm just saying what the words of the Gemara said, that they learned from their mistake and they were able to learn Torah, but not just Torah. They were able to learn Torah and be able to spread it in the proper mindset. And that's because it was with a mindset of, I'm doing this as part of the Sibur of V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha. And that's why we celebrate with fire of all things. What's fire? It's the only principle that I can think of, and I would love to hear if someone else has another compound, whatever the word is, another idea that is like this. But fire is the only thing that you have. If I have a candle and I want to light your candle, my candle is just as strong, and now your candle is just as strong. When I give you my fire, I don't lose out. Everything else, I want to give you money, I now don't have that money. I want to give you, you know, my time, I no longer have that time. Torah is that. When you pass Torah from one to another, you don't become less of yourself. Rather, you become more. But if you don't spread it as the right way, if it brings us to be less close, these Jews look like that, these Jews look like that. Well, we learn Torah, and it's actually making us more of a divide. It's not a fire anymore. I'm gaining and you're losing, you're gaining and he's losing. What they had and why we celebrate with fire is this idea that we're now spreading Torah as I'm going to have mine, I'm growing personally, I'm going to share that to you, and that doesn't make me less at all. That makes me greater. Now there's more fire in the world, there's more Torah in the world. And that's why Sfiras HaOmer, right in the middle of that, is the holiday of Lag BaOmer, because it's the very essence, it's the quintessential example of what Sfira is all about. So that is the idea of what we're celebrating. It's not two sides, opposite sides. Rather, it's the same thing. You can't have one without the other. Before we end, I just want to give a practical example or message on each one of them, on self-growth and as growth as part of a nation. The first one is actually about Rabbi Akiva himself. Rabbi Akiva is one of the most fascinating, you know, people we have in the Gemara. At 40 years old, he was an Am Aretz. He knew nothing. And yet he arose to this person who had 24,000 Talmidim and then started again. He became tremendous. So what changed in his life? What happened? So there's a Avos Rabbi Nassim who tells us a story. I always thought it was a Gemara. I couldn't find it in the Gemara. I only found it in the Avos Rabbi Nassim. That says one day he was in a cave. And he saw, Rabbi Akiva saw, there was a drip of water. I don't know, every so often, every second, whatever it was, a drip of water onto a rock. And the rock started to be penetrated, started to have a little hole in it. And Rabbi Akiva said, if something as hard as a rock can be penetrated by something as soft as water, then even me, and he compared himself to a rock, I could be penetrated by water. We know that water is considered to be Torah. And he left that world and he went to go learn Torah and he switched. He became a different person. So I wanted to maybe take that idea a step further. It wasn't just that he saw that the water could penetrate a rock, but what did he see? One drip of water does not penetrate a rock. He saw drip after drip, and eventually there was a penetration. And the idea is, it wasn't that all those drips beforehand were nothing, but all those drips, all those things that did nothing, was the only reason that there was able to be a straw that broke the camel's back. There was able to be a drip that actually penetrated. And he said, now I understand. I can go to the base midrash knowing nothing at 40 years old. And I'm going to work, and I'm not going to be successful. One time, two times, 40 times, 50 times, whatever it is. But that one time I'm successful, that's only because I put in all the effort beforehand. If I didn't fall all those times beforehand, I'll never become that great person. So that's one idea about self-growth. It's not easy. It's not going to happen overnight. It might be a lot of times of failure first. But after you get that failure, eventually becomes that one time, and you're only able to get that because you failed. In my own life, I could say many times I've tried to pick up something in ruchnius, in spirituality, and I kind of dropped it a few days later because I wasn't successful. And that's the total wrong mindset. The mindset is those times of being unsuccessful is actually what's going to lead to my success. And the last idea I want to end with is a practical idea of helping us care for another Jew. V'yahavta re'echa kamocha. If you look at the pasuk, V'yahavta re'echa kamocha is written in singular, right? You should love one of your neighbors like you love yourself. But if you look at it, it's very fascinating. The pasuk right before says, Lo tisna'a esachicha b'lavavacha hochiach tochiach amitecha. You shouldn't hate your brother, and you should rebuke your nation, someone in your nation. Your nation is obviously plural, many people in your nation. So why wouldn't it be V'yahavta amitecha kamocha, love your nation like you love yourself? Why is the next pasuk singular? Love one Jew in your nation like you love yourself. So I heard a beautiful idea just yesterday from a rabbi named Rabbi Majetsky. I think he's a rabbi in LA. He does these short videos. He said, this is not just telling you what you have to do, but how you have to do it. What is a way I can truly love somebody like I love myself? Not my kid, not my wife, not my mom, my dad, my sister, a random Jew. How's that possible? You look at him as an individual. You look at him, what is this? I'm not trying to help. A lot of people have avas yisrael. I love all Jews. But now it's like, oh, but do you love that guy? Ah, not that guy. That guy's a little bit annoying. No. You need to look at him as an individual. What does this individual need? This guy needs this. This is what I'm going to do for him. This guy likes that. I'm going to do that for him. If you look at each Jew as an individual, then you're able to really love him like you love yourself. And again, just to close up, this is the idea, I think, of the two things that happened 1,400 years apart. But it's really one message. We're supposed to be growing each and every day, counting up, making each day count in our own personal growth. But by at the same time, that growth is supposed to be helping us grow and becoming people that are people that are via haftarecha kamocha, becoming a nation. And that's the difference between an animal and a human. An animal only can fend for himself. A nation, the Jewish people, are supposed to become together. There's no me, there's only us when it comes to the Jewish people. Shkoyach, guys.
Wow, that was so beautiful. I heard in what you were saying about the drop, Rabbi Akiva's drop on the rock, it's no different to the individual Jew. You can love an entire nation like you recognize that each individual drop creates a result at the end.
Beautiful.
And it makes sense that he would have said that.
Exactly.
That
would fit in beautifully. Shkoyach, I didn't think about that.
It's very beautiful. So you're saying like the... Because it's funny, when we do the counting in the evening,